Point Radio.
It's Mike Rod. Dean Pelton is back with the Writer's Room. Jim Rash has a whole new run of episodes and previews them for us right here. In the meantime, you know Tyler Labine from shows like Invasion and Reefer. Now he has a new paranormal comedy that you can sit and binge watch, well, even later on today. Plus, Thanos is the glue that holds the Marvel Universe together. Let's get to the point.
This is the point. The Point Radio. Get the Point Radio.
With his work on Community and being an Oscar-winning writer, Jim Rash is a pretty busy guy. But he found time again to bring back a second season of his passion project to the Sundance Channel. The Writer's Room is back with another six episodes, and Jim laid out what we're going to see this time.
This year, we're starting off with Scandal, and then the other ones and will be like The Good Wife. We talked to House of Cards, and I sat down with Sons of Anarchy and Pretty Little Liars. And then we do sort of a special. I mean, it focuses on The Walking Dead, but also includes talking about just comic book adaptations to TV in general. So I also talked to the guys who brought Smallville to the screen and stuff like that.
The comic book show is kind of a departure for what they've done in the past.
Yeah, I mean, I think the idea was to talk about something specific in the idea of adaptation. And obviously, these guys had taken, and specifically comic books, which obviously is such a big thing right now with Arrow, and I think they're developing Flash. So it really was just sort of like to talk about the broader topic of what it takes to be true to fans of a comic book and the folklore of these heroes, and then to interpret them for TV. So it was just an interesting conversation, I think, was what was the inspiration for that.
So why these shows? Was there a method to what was chosen?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's always, you know, these shows, I think, were picked, these particular shows were picked, one, for just their, obviously, rabid fans, and but also sort of in timing with either they're in, you know, currently airing or about to air or getting close to a season or a finale or something. So it just felt like a good time for these particular shows in conjunction with us having a conversation and fans wanting more information. So that was that. But I think there was always, you know, there was something nice about this year, because I, when talking to Smallville, we were talking about such a different idea in the sense that that show was out, and it feels like it's not that long ago, but it was before Twitter and stuff. So it was interesting to talk about what it felt like to be in TV at that point. So I hope, and I've often thought it'd be fun to sort of revisit classic television shows and talk about some of the changes that happened, you know, and those staff. So that's something I've always really wanted to do in case there's a season three.
So what if we could time travel a little bit? Go back and look at some of the great shows of past decades. If so, I asked Jim if there were any great TV shows from the past he would have liked to have featured on the show.
Sitting down and you know, like if I was there, I would want to talk to Norman Lear, you know, and talking about All in the Family. I want to talk about, you know, that type of when that television sort of age and sort of, you know, was all over the screen with, you know, with controversial, interesting topics being examined. You know, it'd be fun to, also be fun to talk about, you know, MASH. I mean, I'm trying to think of shows that were such an impact on television, you know, and changed certain things. If I don't go so far back, I want to talk to the people of Lost, because as a fan, I have tons of questions as a writer, you know. So I feel like there's lots of, decades you could go to and really learn about that certain time for television.
So what are the big outstanding moments for this year?
Well, I think I certainly enjoyed, this season was interesting to sort of talk about the celebrity that is involved with showrunners, because we were sitting down with Shonda Rhimes, and you have Bo Williman from House of Cards, and you have Kurt Sutter from Sons of Anarchy, and these are, and especially Kurt, are very vocal and connected to their fans in the sense that, you know, and their attitude towards the creative process and what they're trying to do. And I really enjoyed, it's not getting into that and hearing sort of their candid moments, you know, and like Shonda talks about specifically in the premiere about one big note she got when she first was developing Scandal, that she just was ready to walk away from the show if that was a note that they really wanted her to stick to. And it was about the president and Kerry Washington's character, Olivia Pope, being in a romantic relationship. relationship, and to eliminate that was to eliminate the show she wanted to do. So she was ready not to do it. And so then with Smallville, I was talking to those writers, and they were talking about the origin of actual kryptonite. And it was this interesting story. At least I'll talk about what it was from. It was from when it was a radio, sort of radio show, radio play, and them needing to create it to help out an actor who was on their vacation. Such an interesting story that you think of Superman all the time. You think kryptonite's always been there, and it sounds like it came out of an actual time when it was not the comic book, but a radio show.
Unlike last year, there are no comedies in this run of shows he's looking at. So I asked Jim to comment on that.
Yeah, I certainly was more about, again, some shows that I feel like they were looking to start or be stopped or in a certain period, and so I certainly would love to do some more comedies again. So I think that was just this particular six, but another season I'd love to certainly not ignore, because there's so many good new comedies, and certainly want to hear about that.
Of course, we had to talk Community, and in a world with Kickstarter and, of course, the Veronica Mars success a few months back. We talked about the fact that the cast is waiting for a word on a season six. And after that, a movie. Is that impossible?
No. It's weirdly the whatever vision board was created in our minds really could come to fruition. I mean, I feel like my thought is, obviously sixth season would be ideal and would love to do it as long as they allow us. But at the end of the day, something about achieving that sort of mantra of six seasons of a movie seems absolutely perfect for the world of Community. And what better hope you have is to end your sort of series and cap it with a movie, because I feel like if there's anything that speaks to Community, it is needing some kind of epic ending and something that connects so much to an Abed-like character, which is film. It seems very fitting that how you end Community is with a film. So, yes, and then like you said, with Kickstarter and the idea of Veronica Mars, it seems like that is a very good possibility. So we'll just cross our fingers.
Jim Rash in the writer's room on Sundance TV with a new run of episodes. Find out what's coming up and see full episodes you may have missed right now at Sundance.tv. We go with the latest in pop culture. As we told you a few weeks back, The Simpsons are headed to syndication on FXX in August. And of course, it is one of the biggest syndication deals ever in TV history. And now there's a big debut as well. The long-running series will get a marathon that'll last 12 days with 552 nonstop Simpson episodes running on the network. There'll even be a new app for the network involved as well. Official dates for the beginning of the marathon should be announced in a few weeks on FXX. The CW Seed series Backpackers is transitioning from the web to the network. It'll be the very first project from the Seed to do so. It's a story about a couple of friends who backpack across Europe after one of them is dumped in a relationship. Material from the web series will be integrated into the first four episodes of the show. There'll be 10 episodes that'll run all together, again beginning this summer on the CW. As the world nods in agreement, HBO has announced renewing Game of Thrones for two more seasons. It'll be on the network at least for seasons 5 and 6. Of course, the premiere delivered some 6.6 million viewers and managed again to crash the HBO Go app on most iPads and on other mobile devices. By the way, as far as downloads go, yeah, it was pretty much up there as well. Over 1 million reported illegal torrent downloads of the first episode of Game of Thrones for the season. The Marvel continuity machine just keeps cranking on, with appearances on the way by Samuel L. Jackson and Kobe Smulders on the S.H.I.E.L.D. television series. That'll take place in some episodes set before the series ends for this first run. That'll be during May. In the meantime, they've announced that the Guardians of the Galaxy will have a direct tie into the Avengers movie, especially leading into the third Avengers film. They say it's all due to Thanos, who'll be pretty much the main character that ties it all together. Starz is jumping into the reality unscripted series market with a return of Project Greenlight. Well, almost. Project Greenlight producer Chris Moore has a new series. It takes two independent filmmakers and has them both direct a film from the same script, the same budget, and in the same city, and see which one premieres to the most success. It's called The Chair. It'll run 10 episodes and premiere on Starz in the fall. The classic 60s television series Route 66 is coming to Hulu and Hulu Plus. The first season featured some 30 episodes, and that'll premiere sometime the next couple of weeks there. In the meantime, season two will follow, and it's all put together by entertainment company The Shout Factory. How would you like to turn up on screen in the second Sharknado movie? Well, it's possible due to a new crowdfunding project that's taking place through Indiegogo. The production company doing the film is hoping to raise some money to do a little more on a scene they're doing that involves chainsaws and sharks. They're hoping that the financing will make the scene better, and they're asking for some $50,000 to be contributed by the end of May. For those who contribute, can get everything from a T-shirt all the way to a walk-on part of the movie, depending upon the amount of money that you do contribute. You can check it out on Indiegogo, and the project, of course, is Sharknado 2, the second one, which is set to air in July on Sci-Fi.
The point, what's cool.
A lot of great collections, both trade paperback and hardcover, waiting for you this week, and a few reminders, too. As you head to the local comic store, the $1 samplers continue from Dark Horse this week. Emily and the Stranger, number one, get you a chance to preview that for a buck. And the Brain Boy series is collected in a trade paperback volume for about $15 as well. Speaking of collections, the Adventures of Superman digital comic from DC gets a few stories collected in a trade paperback this week from them. 0 Year continues in Batman number 30, and of course there's a second issue of the weekly Batman Eternal. And a Justice League of America omnibus, too, that contains a whole bunch of stories, just about 33 issues or so of the Justice League from the 60s, all collected in one volume. This one a little expensive, just under $100. Sinestro gets a new series this week by Cullen Bunn and Dale Eaglesham. That begins. And the 24 comics from IDW are collected into one trade paperback, just in time for the start of the new run of the series on Fox. That runs just under $25. If you're looking for something totally new, Star Mage is a new series by J.C. De La Torre. You know him from Ancient Rising, and it's new this week with the first issue from IDW. Tales of Honor, number one, gets a second printing, and then over to Marvel for another number one this week. It's a reboot of Hulk with the first issue there. Also, Magneto and Moon Knight, number one, both get second printings, as does New Warriors, number one, and Punisher, number three, and She-Hulk, number two, also get second printings as well. And finally, you may want to check out a Marvel title called Ultimate FF. It is not what you think. It's not a return of the Fantastic Four to the Ultimate Universe. It's a different team with some familiar names like Sue Storm, Tony Stark, Machine Man, and Sam Wilson, all in a new series that begins this week for Marvel. And now here's your reminder. We're just a little less than a month away from Free Comic Book Day, so you better make your plans right now and find out where you're going to grab the goodies. Find out the local comic shops in your area, of course, with the free comic book service. It is available at 1-888-COMIC-BOOK. Check out a website called findacomicshop.com or check out the link on the front of one of our favorite places to hang out, comicmix.com.
The point.
On the surface, Deadbeat looks like a paranormal comedy that debuts on Hulu this month. But there's a lot more to it than that. And I asked series star Tyler Labine to help me get the real answer.
Deadbeat is about me being a deadbeat, drug-addicted, kind of idiot, savant medium. He's a bit of a Chauncey Gardner type. He's failing upwards. He's a medium, but he has no idea that that is a skill that can be monetized. He's just eking his way through life and sort of has been dealing with this curse since he was a small child. And it's the way he gets, money for rent and for pot, and that's about it. And along the way, he ends up sort of meeting up with and eventually clashing with a sort of American Sweetheart televised medium named Chamomile White, played by Cat Deeley, who he idolizes, but ends up sort of uncovering the fact that she's a sham. She's a sham from top to bottom, and he's the real deal, and they end up having a whole series of sort of misunderstandings with each other, and it's a through line for the show. And it's fun. Hopefully funny, too.
So how would he describe it?
I don't want to use this word. I'm using it loosely. We're lampooning a little bit the whole idea of a procedural, supernatural-style show, you know, a la Ghost Whisperer or whatever. We're kind of taking the piss a little bit and just looking at the lighter side of being a medium.
In addition to shows like Reaver and Invasion, Tyler's done a lot of producing and writing in the business. So I asked him about the new medium that makes hits out of shows, well, like House of Cards.
I really think it's a great
thing. I think we're adding to the content pool, you know, which is ever growing with, you know, Yahoo getting in the game and Esquire and even Coca-Cola is starting a new media network. And, you know, it's like, it's obviously the way that things are going. And what I've always sort of likened it to is that, like, we're just giving people, when I say we, by the way, I mean Hulu and Netflix, and giving people just more options, more ways to get at good content. And they can get it when they want it, where they want it. And, you know, I just feel like people go to bed with their computers. People take their iPads into the bathroom when they go, you know, just take a dump. It's like right. People are constantly wanting to watch and be entertained. And Hulu and Netflix, who are the trailblazers in this new sort of sprouting industry, are just the first ones to really click, you know, to get it. So I think it's cool. And the other thing I think is important to mention is that, like, we didn't make a web series or an internet show. It's a very well produced high end TV show that's just available in a different way. You know, I think it's still in line very much so with like what you would find on TV. And Hulu is famous for streaming TV, and I think we're just going to sort of be lined up well, aligned with all the other content, including network and cable TV that is available on Hulu.
Binge watching is the buzzword right now. How does that work into Tyler's life?
I'm a binge watching expert. I have like binge sweats that I wear. I have a dent in my couch where I watch my binge watching. I think honestly that's the way I've been watching TV for a long time. As soon as like TV DVDs started coming around, you know, a lot of people don't have time to wait, or they don't want to wait anyway. I certainly don't, you know, especially when something is serialized and you want to watch it right away. It's just awesome to be able to, like, look at your wife or your partner or whatever and be like, one more? You know, and you just keep doing that over and over again. And I don't know. I love it, man. It's fun. It's like, it's a good, like, little thing you can do on a Saturday. Deadbeat is certainly an easily digested sort of 10 episodes, and I think it's the best way to watch it. You don't lose people. You kind of get to tell the story in a different way because you don't have to, like, rely on the fact that people are going to come back, you know, next week in 7 days. They're just right there. And if you give them a reason to, you know, click one more, they're going to do it. So, and it also makes for more interesting, like, cooler talk, I think, you know. Like water cooler talk, people standing around like, how many did you watch last night? I'm up to episode 4. Oh, don't tell me anything. I only watched 2 last night. You know, it's like, I think it's great. I think it's the wave of the future.
As I said, Tyler is both a producer and a writer, as well as an actor. And he's done a lot of work with his brother. So I ask him what's coming down the line next.
Yeah, I'm actually in the middle of production on our new feature right now. We're shooting in the Canadian Shuswap mountain range right now. And we're shooting a movie called Mountain Men, starring me and Chase Crawford. And it's like a two-hander about brothers who get stranded on this mountain, and the one brother breaks his leg, and it's about them trying to get back down the mountain together. And along the way, they learn, you know, a lot about each other and about their dad, who's been missing for 3 years. And it's kind of like it's a comedy that takes a really dark turn, where all of a sudden the stakes are life and death. And it's pretty cool, if I do say so myself. And it's just rad to be working with my brother again, you know.
Producing, writing, acting, what does he like best?
I like it all, man. I like all of it. I love acting. Acting is my favorite element. You know, that's where I think I work the best. But I really am finding that through the development process, I'm loving writing these days. It's really fun, you know, especially when you, at the end of the day, are kind of writing a character that you want to play. You know, it's like I'm not limited anymore to, like, trying to find the thing that I want to do. I can kind of create the thing that I want to do. And, you know, I think I know which characters and which elements of characters I can play best. So you start writing to your own strengths, and me and my brother sit down, and we write a bunch of stupid stuff, and we kind of, like, throw stuff at the wall and see what sticks, and it's like, I like the whole process. It's really fun.
See Tyler in Deadbeat. New episodes every week on Hulu. Or you can get all episodes all at once on Hulu Plus right now. That does it for the podcast, but you know you can stay in touch at Get The Point Radio. We're on there 24/7 with the very latest in pop culture and a lot more. GetThePointRadio.com is where you go, and take us along on any mobile device with a free app called iNet Radio in the App Store or at iNetRadio.com. Podcast comes back a couple of times every week. You find it on websites like comicmix.com and michaeldavisworld.com. and also, of course, in the iTunes podcast directory where you can subscribe. Keep up with us on social media, too, under The Point Radio, and we'll see you back here in a few days.
Get The Point Radio.